The Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I want you to think back to when you were a child. All of us hopefully have some memory of what it was like to think like a child. Holding on to some of those memories helps us to connect with who we are, who we've always been, but also helps us to understand children when we talk to them and listen to their ways of thinking. And one of the things you might remember about childhood is all of the rules. There's a lot of rules, right? Don't touch that. Don't eat that. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do this. Do that. So many different rules. I think we can all remember a rule that we thought was unreasonable or one that we broke on purpose. The rules seem to be all around us, and yet as a child, you understand that's the way life is, learning rules that keep you safe. But then there were those more difficult rules. I'm sure you remember this one, share. You have to share your toys. You have to share with your siblings or with your friends. It's a difficult lesson to learn as a child, and it's a lesson we just keep on learning for our whole lives. So there are rules about keeping us safe and keeping other people safe, but then there are rules about how we treat each other. I think it's a good reminder to us that we don't just come out knowing how to be humans in the way that God is calling us to be. As small children, we need rules that are around us. And I sometimes wish that there was that voice still saying over my shoulder, and sometimes I can still hear it, "Be nice to your little sister. Share what you have. Right? Remember to be kind." All of these rules that we can still learn from can still shape our lives. And of course, as we become adults, there are other rules, traffic rules, there are rules of law, there are rules in the workplace that we have to follow. But those rules in our personal lives go away. As we become adults, it's our responsibility to decide how we're going to treat people, how we're going to care for them, how we're going to express our love for each other. And that perhaps is one of the most valuable things about religion. It helps us to be transformed. that it's not about rules and regulations and rituals that we come and perform in the same way meaninglessly, but it's about the way in which the rules of God, the words of God, speak to our hearts and transform us. Jesus talks today about washing hands, and you could see a headline, a misquoted headline that would say, "Jesus proclaims hand washing as evil. Never wash your hands again." And that would be gaining the wrong message from this particular passage. Jesus is talking to a group of people who have so fixated on this rule, not just washing your hands, but a particular ritual, that all they understand is the ritual itself. They've forgotten the meaning of it. They've forgotten the way in which the washing of their hands can be a way of connecting with God and thankfulness and openness to the gift that God has to give them. And instead, the Pharisees are using the hand-washing ritual as a way of saying, we're better than them because we observe these fancy rituals and they don't. So here's proof that Jesus and his followers are no good. They've missed the point. They haven't seen past the rule to see behind it, beyond it, to see the way in which they are being invited through their tradition, through their religion, to be transformed. Now, Jesus says, don't do it that way. He says, what really makes you unclean is not the dirt on your hands, but the evil intentions that come from our hearts. Now, we know ever since we were children and we just broke those rules without even meaning to, right? When the parent says, well, why did you do that? You knew you weren't supposed to do that, and you just don't have an answer because you're not really sure why you chose to break that rule. It didn't even seem like a choice at the time. And we still do that. We're still unkind when we don't mean to be. We still make choices that we wish we hadn't made. And so we connect with what Jesus said. We know how that makes us feel in our hearts when we mess up. So what do we do about that? How do we change? This is one of those Sundays where the two readings work really well together, because the reading from James is all about how do we change? What is the point of religion? And if it is transformation, then how is it that we are transformed? And James says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Doers of the word. He gives one example, the care of orphans and widows, which at that time in history was a major issue in communities. People were cast aside if they didn't have the proper family structure or connection to take care of them. And he points that out as something specifically that doing God's word is about. But there are many examples of how it is that we live our lives, how it is that we become doers of the word of God, doers of the rules. Ancient monastics adopted what they called a rule of life. You may have heard that phrase before. It started way back from the beginning, and it was a way when they gathered in prayer both to order their community but also to order their own lives. They were specifically trying to live lives of extreme devotion to God, to completely be transformed by this journey, to give everything up and to follow God. And even they couldn't figure out how to do it without rules, right? The rule of life that they chose was a way of committing themselves to dividing their time between the things that they found important. Between rest and prayer and work and community time and service. And each of the different monastic orders came up with a different way of doing it, spending time reflecting on their lives and how they were actually living out that call to love and serve God, spending time in devotion and prayer, spending time digging in the garden, spending time working together. It was an intentional way of living life. At General Convention this summer, Bishop Curry talked about a rule of life. He's been talking about the Jesus movement for the last few years since he was elected, about how we're called as Episcopalians into this movement to be crazy Christians, to devote ourselves to following God in a new way. We're going to be talking more about that in the coming weeks. On September 16th, we're going to get to hear that sermon that Bishop Curry gave, projected at 9 o'clock in the parish hall. We have books available today called Crazy Christians by Michael Curry as well, as a way of inviting ourselves deeper into that conversation. But I invite us to think about, as we begin this journey of talking a little bit more about rules of life, to think about what is it that we already do in our daily lives. And there's probably a million things that we do. But what is one thing that you found in your life to be transformative? A simple practice, maybe of prayer or of intentional kindness towards someone else. Some little thing that you have found that when you do it, you feel good. You feel yourself moving in the direction that God is calling you. And choose to do that just a little more frequently. It can seem overwhelming to consider adopting an entire rule of life that changes the way that you live, but really, we're already doing it. We already make little decisions each day about how we spend our time and our money and our effort. And the more that we practice something, the more that it becomes a part of us. We know this even from brain chemistry, right? The more we have a certain negative thought about ourselves or someone else, it creates a groove in our brain or a way in which the neurons fire, and we just get stuck in that pattern. And in order to recreate, to break out of the patterns of our life that we don't like, we need a new habit, a new way of thinking. So I invite you this week to think of one thing. Think of one thing that brings you joy and transformation, and try to do it a little more often. And we can discover together that rules that we thought were difficult and burdensome as children can now become something different, something that we choose out of love, love for an ever-loving God who holds us, who guides us, who gives us the strength that we need each day as we seek to follow God and be transformed. Amen.